The name of my sermon is, Some Say Messiah, Some Say Meshuggah. But my subtitle is, Why is Jesus getting so much flack? You see, Mark 3:21 is the only place that has this story about Jesus. And Mark doesn't give us much background about Jesus' life. There is no background in Mark about Jesus' birth. There's no background about Jesus getting lost at the temple when he was 12 years old. There's no background about them going to Egypt to flee Herod. There's very little stuff. And all of a sudden here in Mark chapter 3, we get this glimpse into Jesus' family. But if you read a whole lot of different translations to see what his family is saying about Jesus, Mark chapter 3, verse 21, here's what they say. One translation, he is out of his mind. Another translation, well, he is beside himself. Another one, he has lost his senses. Another one, he's gone mad. And another one, he is insane. And another one, he is just crazy. And another one, well, you know, I think he's getting carried away with himself. And another one, he is Meshuggah. That comes from the Orthodox Jewish Bible, by the way. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth lift up this beloved worshiping community and fill them with your light, your love. Let them see that we are all members of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have to give you some background here. In the Jewish and Roman world, family was the most important thing in a person's life. Family gave a person their name. Most of the time, family gave a person their profession. Most of the time, it gave them security from danger. It gave them a place to live. And it provided a marriage and thus a future. So it was critical that people in that time maintained connections with their family. And yet, here in this gospel reading this morning, Jesus was there and his family were trying to pull him inside. They were shushing him from the doorway. Stop, 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 shh. They wanted him to just go inside and disappear. So why was he getting so much flack? Well, let's ask ourselves, okay, what had Jesus done wrong since he left home? Because this happens early on in his public life. Well, he got baptized, no problem. He called his disciples, okay, including a tax collector. Wait a minute, what? Oh, that's not right. He announced the coming of the kingdom of God. He cast out demons, healed sick people, restored a man's withered hand, befriended sinners. I don't know about that. But he forgave sinners. And then he gathered grain on the Sabbath because his disciples were hungry. All right, now you're pushing the envelope there. And he ate dinner with tax collectors. Okay, that's it, you're done. Can't do that. Those are the things he did that were wrong. And we're only in the third chapter of Mark's gospel, and already Jesus is attracting large crowds. But already the religious and political leaders are plotting against him. And already he is being a pain to his family members, and they are shocked. Jesus was, let's be simple here, a family embarrassment. And his family was eager to push him inside, get him out of the house. They wanted him to stay quiet, and Jesus wanted to preach about God's kingdom. Jesus' family are so afraid, it's like they don't want to even know him. So why is Jesus getting all this flack? Because he's simply living his life of love. That's all. But sometimes being a Christian, living a life of love, means that you end up doing all the wrong things to all the wrong people, in all the wrong places, at all the wrong times. And here's something you might find surprising. If you look at this story, the writer of the Gospel of Mark is showing us that Jesus' family, maybe they weren't exactly believers in Jesus yet. We look back at this 2,000 years later and we think, oh, Jesus, everybody knows who Jesus is. Yeah, of course, why not? But back then, it was a much harder time. Jesus' family were Jewish, and they had grown up in a faith that was thousands of years old. And yet Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I'm going this way. It's hard to give up thousands of years of traditions, even if you're his family. Reverend David Luce puts this really clear. These are his words. Jesus' words and actions show us his vision. The kingdom of God is rooted in a profound inclusivity and community and fellowship. And this is about accepting any and all people who are interested in God's kingdom and responding to their needs, no matter who is asking. So that is why Jesus is getting so much flack. But let's go back to this. Was Jesus really Meshuggahna? I mean, if there was a crime called being Meshuggahna, would a prosecutor have enough to charge Jesus truly with that? Or maybe, let me ask you this, is someone in your family Meshuggahna? Someone here in Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, Meshuggahna. Wait a minute, hold on. Are you Meshuggahna? Uh-oh. But being Meshuggahna is not bad. It is not bad. Jesus was exactly that. And calling someone else Meshuggahna is not an excuse to do nothing. Jesus welcomes all the Meshugganas with a new vision of family and community. Listen to these words. This is Mark chapter 3, verse 34-35. Then he looked at those seated around him in a circle and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. That statement in Mark, this has been called one of the most radical statements in the Gospels. And please think, let that sink in. This has been called one of the most radical statements in the Gospel. Jesus is taking this tradition of your human family being everything, your life, your security, your housing, your profession, your marriage, and Jesus is saying, whoa. He is redefining family by people's love of God, not by their birth. Jesus' sisters and brothers in God are sustained by the Holy Spirit. And they are also sustained by being part of a beloved worshiping community. The early church followers of Jesus met weekly in people's houses to share meals, to share faith, to share fellowship, face to face, eye to eye, heart to heart. You see, a true beloved worshiping community that gets all the benefits of being connected is one that gathers together in person for worship and fellowship and service. A beloved worshiping community that faces trials in Jesus' name and becomes stronger. You see, Royal Oak had a tremendous trial in March of 2020 when we were faced with shutting our doors and when we were faced with creating out of nothing online worship in a food pantry. And now, ironically, we're faced again with a new trial of opening our doors and creating out of a small number. But I got to remind you all, the number of people in the sanctuary is more than the number of people Jesus had as disciples. Just got to bring that up. To create a new beloved fellowship, a new family in Christ. So this is the good news that we celebrate every Sunday. We are members of Jesus' family, connected in the body of Christ. Jesus is not out of his mind. He's not insane. He is not Meshuggah. Jesus is in the mind of his Father God. Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in the love of God. And so, we are being continually invited to be part of Jesus' family, and we are called to invite others. So I'm going to ask you one more time, why is Jesus getting so much flack for what he's doing? He's doing the Father's will. But Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, this is a question for you. Why aren't we getting more flack for lifting up the kingdom of God and doing his Father's will? Why aren't we, I'm going to go back to the words of Reverend David Luce, pushing our boundaries to reach more people with the always surprising, often upsetting, unimaginably gracious, and ridiculously inclusive love of Jesus? So while we had one problem that we solved with the work of the Holy Spirit a year ago plus, we have a new problem now. And we know we can solve it because the Holy Spirit is here, and God is here, and Jesus is here. And as crazy as Jesus was, we can be as crazy because you have wonderful hearts and wonderful love and wonderful passion and wonderful energy. So, dear Jesus, by your grace, you have brought us into your family and you have made us new creations in you. So please guide us and sustain us as we venture into our pandemic-diminished world. Help us to come together in this sanctuary, your home, every Sunday for worship, for fellowship, and service. And help us be crazy as you were crazy, so we can reach more people with your always surprising, unimaginatively gracious, and ridiculously inclusive love. The God who created an entire universe is here to help us create and reinvigorate our beloved worshiping community. And for that, we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.